holy to you. You know, I know that you've heard this before, musician, you want to receive her seed. You know, those angels, I guess I'm going to leave that up there, huh? Those angels that was there in the presence of God, doesn't know sin or anything like that, and they cried, holy, holy, holy.
That's right.
Right. So, my goodness, this world, I've said this many times, Judgment Day is going to be an interesting day.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I don't know if the Lord will let us see everything that went on behind the scenes and how all the history actually unfolded and every private meeting the wicked took behind the scenes to try and accomplish what they want. I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But it's going to be an interesting day. And evil is really magnifying itself. And which helps us to know that the Lord is also moving. As we said Sunday, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up standards. So we believe that. Know that God will do that. He will never leave his people. You know, our military can send people overseas to do some sort of mission, and they can get into trouble, and our military can leave them there to die and not rescue them. Do you know that?
Yeah.
God will never do that to you.
That's right.
He'll never do that to you. And it's nice to know that even when you get yourself in trouble, he'll always come rescue you if you're his child. So you want to thank him for that. And there's a lot of times that each one of us don't feel like children much, of God much, but that's just, we don't go by feelings.
That's right.
We don't go by feelings whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We go by faith because we believe it. We've seen God do enough in our own life to know that he's got his hand on us. You know, so, and I'm glad to know that. I'm happy to see him move just in the little assembly we have with the people that's here. And I know he does that because you're his children and he loves you, and I know that you love him. And so we, in our little feeble way of doing it, we try to express our thankfulness and our gratitude and our service to him in just such a feeble way compared to what he deserves. But we still do it, and you know what? Even those little feeble attempts, I know he receives it in full. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you take somebody, they say make a joyful noise in the Lord. You take somebody that can't sing very well, and God receives that just as much as he does.
Amen.
Right? So, I sit up here and make mistakes and get out of timing and everything else. The Lord, he don't hear that.
That's you know?
Right. He just receives it anyway. And I'm not saying that because it's me, but so anyway. We want to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And tonight I want to talk about the simplicity of the gospel. And I trust him totally. I've got a few notes written down here, but I just, you know, this is one of those nights where I'm just going to have to totally, completely trust him to even guide me through my notes. So, just so much going on. But we're gonna talk about the simplicity of the gospel tonight. Try not to keep you real long, but also, you know, it's a double-edged sword, because if I don't keep you long enough and feed enough to you, you might go away hungry.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. So, you know, there's a special medium place in there where it's just right. You know, you can also eat too much and get miserable. And I don't know if that's possible with the Word of God, but anyway, you know, in the natural, you can. Actually, really, it is. You can give too much.
Yeah.
You can give too much in one service, and people begin to lose what to do with the, you know, so we don't want to do that. But anyway, we'll trust him. This is Paul speaking. He said, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That's where I get my title from, the simplicity of the gospel. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," do you know that someone can preach another Jesus? Right? "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, as we come to this portion of the service, looking upon your words, Lord, knowing that these are the words of eternal life, Lord, these words could change the whole world if they just would receive it. In a few moments, this world could be like a millennium if the whole world could just simply accept and receive your word. Lord, we just ask tonight that you would take the things that you want to be said, that you would give them to me, give them to your people tonight. Allow us by your grace and your mercy, Lord, to press through all the cares of life, all the failures and all the things that pull at us from one direction to the other. Let us just move through all that with your grace, Lord, and come and sit before you tonight, Lord, to hear your words. They would speak to our hearts. God, a man cannot open these words. A man cannot send these words to the hearts of your people, but you can do it. And so I ask tonight, Lord, through the name of Jesus Christ, that you bless every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. The simplicity of the gospel. You know, God made it simple. God made the gospel. He made everything simple. As a matter of fact, you know, nature's simple. When I think of a newborn babe nursing at a mother's breast, there's something simple about that. You know what I'm saying? There's something simple and godly about that. And God made it so simple, even all of his creation, the way things work. When I see even my neighbor who maybe not serving the Lord, but I see him get up and go to work every day, and there's something about that because it's in a pattern. It's something that God has established. But there's something simple about that. And so God made things simple. He made this whole entire creation simple as far as I'm concerned. When it's in his capacity, it's when it's observed and enjoyed and lived in his capacity the way he intended. It's so simple. It's not hard to love. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not hard to love. It's simple. Mm-hmm. See? And so he made it simple, and yet it's so complex. Science can dig down into things. You know, that's one thing I've noticed. You know, there's all kinds of things that we get into at work. But you can take one single little component, an electronic component, and you can study that, and you can learn more about that one little thing, and you can become an expert at that and spend years doing it.
Yep.
Just one little component. And there's thousands of them. And so what I've learned is that this universe, it is complex. It may sound like it's different than what I just said a minute ago, but remember I said when it's observed the way God wants it to be observed and enjoyed the way he wants it to be enjoyed, it's simple. But man has come along, and man gets into things, and he makes it complicated.
Right.
Now, when I say man, synonymous to that is Satan. He makes it complicated. But you can become an expert at anything. I don't care what it is. Whether it's metallurgy or, you know, tires on your car, millions of dollars in research and volumes of books written on those things, on just anything.
Yeah.
And so, and every bit of it's going to perish. Because we're not going to have automobiles in the millennium.
Right.
None of these scientific achievements, none of these iPhones or Androids, desktop computers, cars, spaceships, machine guns, none of that stuff's going to be there. And man has spent so much time researching and developing, and so he's going down this pathway, but this pathway is not the pathway of simplicity. See? When man turns away from the gospel and its simplicity, then he makes it complicated. And this is Satan's plan to make it complicated. So yet God had made things so that you could become an expert in whatever it is you come to, digging metals out of the earth and learning how to mix them together and make things. You could spend your whole life, waste your whole life studying those things. And I'm not endorsing ignorance. You understand, it's okay to have an education and learn something like that God will use to take care of you.
Yeah.
And give you a job and money. That's fine. I use it every day. But most of what I use is not going to be there on that other side, you know. But it pays the bills and it gets us by, and I thank the Lord for that. So I'm not endorsing ignorance, but I am talking about the fact that man takes something that God made it so complicated in that realm that you could dig into it, and no matter how no matter how far scientists go, they think, well, we've got it figured out. And after a little while later, they find out they didn't have it figured out because they discover something that's so much more in depth. I mean, I remember when I was going to school and they thought that the smallest thing in the universe was an atom. Do they still believe that now? No. See what I'm saying?
No.
So, you know, that's just how it is. And so God made it so complex that if you go down the way of a transgression, it's a hard way.
Yeah.
Right? His creation is so vast and so complicated that he'll allow the cow to have enough rope.
Yeah.
And they can spend their whole hundreds of thousands of years studying and going down that way further and further and further from God. And that's what they do. He made it that complicated, and yet it's so simple. Such a simple thing. The ways of life are simple. Like I said a while ago, to love, it's simple. It's when man's ideas get in there, or Satan gets in there with his thing, that's when it starts getting complicated. That's when it starts getting hard. But the easiest life a person can live, and you know, this may sound, a lot of things I'm saying, and I may sound like paradoxes or whatever, but the easiest life, most joyful life you can live is a life for Christ.
Yep.
The most horrible life you can live is one that's not for Him.
Yep.
And it all has to do with what we're chasing. Which channel are we going down? Are we going down this channel that the world goes down, or are we going down the channel for God? You can get a college education and still have your mind on God. Okay? It's possible. But if science and technology and modern worldism, if that is your ultimatum, there's no room for God in your heart.
Right.
If you have a love for the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. That tells you that if the love of God is in your heart, you can't have a love for the things of the world.
Yeah.
So you'll use a car, you'll drive a car, you'll use a phone or a computer or something like that, but those things are not your control. They're not your God. They are just a tool that you're using. And that tool will always be used in a way that God is honored and glorified. Because He's your number one.
That's right.
That's the way it is. And so, it is. He made it complicated so that man can hang himself with it, obviously. And I'm saying that's exactly why He did it that way, but perhaps it is. But the point I'm making is that it is complicated. When you go down that road, you'll never be able to figure it all out. Or you can come back and look at it and experience it through God's program and God's eyes, and it's simple. Because you don't have to know about all those things in simplicity, right? You don't have to know how a transistor works, right? To be able to have the simplicity of the gospel. Now remember, the Lord came, He came to save those which were lost, right?
Yeah.
He didn't come to save somebody that wasn't there. He came to save those which were lost. That's why He came. That was His purpose. He said, I come to do that. That's what the Father sent Him for. So He's come to do that, and He's certainly not going to try and complicate, confuse, and hijack His own plan.
Right.
God is not the author of confusion, mm-hmm. right? So in His raw form, and God's the raw form of way He created it to be, all it is to be full of life and joy and pleasure and all the good things that come down from above, right? From the Father of lights.
Right.
All those good gifts. That's the way it was intended to be enjoyed and all that sort of thing. And so He doesn't hijack His own program. He doesn't come and make it hard for you. He wants to provide that for you. And I know somebody could debate that a little bit, but you understand what I'm getting at. He's not going to hijack His own program. He come here to save people, and that's what He's wanting to do, save those that are lost. And so His program is done in such a way to do that. It's just that when man begins to apply his ideas to it, get his thoughts on the matter, that's when it gets complicated, because man corrupts everything. Everything he touches. You remember, Satan's not a creator, right? He's a perverter.
That's right.
Right? He does it through humanity. He can't just create something, so he has to wait till science develops it and you know, and all the things that he does. So he's not a creator. But in everything that he does, he makes it harder and harder on humanity. There's a scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verse 25. I want to show you. Man pollutes everything that he touches. Look at this. The Lord said, if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it.
Yeah.
An altar is a place where you meet God, to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? An altar to come meet God. And he says, the place where you're going to meet me, you can't touch it. Because you'll pervert it. You will pollute it. In other words, the gospel that I have laid there for you to come and meet me in the gospel, you can't put your own ideas, you can't put your own tool to it and try and fashion Christianity the way that you want to fashion it. You leave it alone the way God made it.
Yeah.
So you take a stone, you dig it out of the ground just the way it is, and you make that altar with that stone just like that, and don't you put a hammer and a chisel to it. See that? Because if you do, you're going to pollute it. So anytime we put our opinions to the Word of God, anytime we put our desires and our ideas about the ways of life, we pollute it.
Right.
Everything. We pollute every last smidgen of it when we put our hands to it. So we don't want to put our hands to it. You see what I'm saying? And so we need to remember that Satan's plan was to be worshipped like God, right? He wanted to become like God. He wants to be worshipped like God. And you know what? He's done a pretty good job of getting that across, because most of humanity does.
Yep.
But he wanted to do that. He wanted to be worshipped. And the way he does that is, as I said a while ago, is to pervert God's way and to bring confusion. Satan comes along and he messes everything up. And then he tries to make himself out to be the answer to the problem.
Right.
When he anoints governments, they do the same. They create problems and then try to come along and say, we've got the answer to the problem.
Right.
And the problem with that is that every time they do that, because they're anointed of their Father to do so, every time he lays out a plan and it fouls up the economy of God or the way God would have it to be, and then he comes on and says, I've got a way to fix this. It just brings all of humanity one step closer to even more bondage. Because everything Satan does is designed to bring that worship to himself.
Right.
He's not satisfied with even one person on this earth who's not worshiping him. And so he can get people to worship him by creating the Sports Hall of Fame. Creating a system like that where everybody worships their favorite football player, their favorite basketball player, their famous tennis player, or whatever it is. And these people who should be giving their honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're giving it to something else. Satan gets worship. Mm-hmm. Satan can create a doctrine if taking the Word of God and confusing it and twisting it and create something called Trinity. Try to tell man that there's three gods when the Bible's very clear that there's one God. If you believe in one God, you do well, because the devils believe also and tremble.
Yeah.
So he'll create a doctrine taking the Word of God and mixing it all up and spitting out three gods and cause people who believe that to worship him, even though they don't know they're doing it. Because they are approaching under a false teaching. Everybody understand that? It's under a false teaching, the worship gets diverted to Satan whenever he puts out a lie out there and they believe it. And you know that Trinity belief system come out of Catholicism. And you know God is one God. He came to Israel and said, the Lord our God is one God. Don't have any other ones before him. And so what does Satan spend all his time doing? Trying to get everybody, you know, and get Israel to compromise on that. Same way with the believer today. So Satan wants to be worshipped. He does it by bringing confusion, bringing perversion. And then he tries to boast himself to be the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've paid any attention to anything at all, you'll know that there are governments around the world, if you understand what I'm saying, and they will go out and create problems. And they know what they're doing.
Right.
They create problems so they can come along and offer something that will be a solution, and the people don't know what's going on, and they'll fall for it, and the government's now got more bondage. They got people under the thumb. They can control them more.
Right.
And then they go at it with some other angle. And so all it takes is a few years, and you get some elite people who are in control of everybody else. Innocent people that just want to live and raise their families and work hard each day and enjoy life, but they can't because some rascal comes along and says, I want to be worshipped, and I can't let you be like that because I want to be gratified. I want to have this, so I'm gonna put things in place to be gratified. And so there you have it. He brings this perversion. And with each wave he does that, he brings more bondage. Remember, he thought that he could make a brighter, a more excellent kingdom than that of Michael in heaven.
Right.
Remember? He thought that he could have a better program than what God did, what Michael did. And so he got kicked out and he comes down and he's still doing the same thing today. He can't take it the gospel way, the way that God would have us to marry and live with our wives, the way that God would have us raise our children, the way that God would have us work hard each day and raise crops and do the things that we might do to live a peaceful life. He don't want that, right? He's got a better idea. And so he goes about putting things in place to destroy all that, because in destroying all that, he gets gratification. That's what he does. And so that's the way he works. And so, so I'm still speaking about this gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. The further we get away from simplicity, from the simplicity of the gospel, the further we get from God. How many times have you heard Brother Branham say, whenever a man comes up and he says, I'm a doctor of divinity, I've got a PhD, an LLD, or a double D, doctor of divinity, and he said, that just makes you that much further from God. I've always complained about this. Like I said, Satan will create a problem and then show himself to be the answer. Think about it. You go to the doctor, you got something wrong with your bone here on your, below your knee, between your knee and your ankle. It hurts. You go in there and he's looking at it, and I've had, I think, going to a foot doctor one time. I think my Aunt Mary took me, and he's standing there with a recorder, and he's talking, and he's looking at my foot, and he's describing on this recorder, because he's going to have somebody, you know, type it up or whatever. And so, but do you think that doctor calls that bone the bone between the knee and the ankle? No, he has some crazy name that they've created for that bone. They've created a language of identification of all this stuff that you and I don't understand. So they create a system, go study in that, be learned in that way, and then look at everybody else like, you know, you're so ignorant because you don't know about all this stuff. And I know this sounds kind of crazy, but my point is they'll create societies, systems that they can rally in and look at everybody, look down their nose at everybody else because nobody else knows what they've created. They don't have to be, you know, he could say, you know, they'll say, well, it's your so-and-so. You know I don't know what that is that you're talking about. Tell me in layman term, you know. Tell me how I'm going to understand what bone it is that's hurting, you know. Show me a chart or something. They don't always do that. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the way it is. Man creates this stuff and he, you know, and you got to go get educated in. And if you don't want to go with the flow of things, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're crazy. I heard a man testifying one time, and he said, not testifying, tell an interview, and he said, I forget when it was. It was back in the, like, the 1920s or something like that, way back then. When they first went to money that was, paper money. You know, people used to trade with gold. And went to his paper money. And he said there was actually, this is a wealthy businessman, like a millionaire type man. And he said, you know, he said, and when they started trading with paper, he said every once in a while you'd find somebody who still wanted to trade with gold coins. This was before the president made that gold act where he took everybody's gold from them. And so he said, and he said the idea, the whole mentality of people at the time was, look at that idiot there. He still wants to trade with coins. What's the matter with him? Now you find out you're better off with your coins than you are with paper money.
Yeah.
But the point he was saying was, you know, So, you know, they create a system to move the mindset of people in the direction they want to go. And anybody that doesn't want to go that direction with progress and with culture, they look down on them. You're the fuddy-duddy. You're the guy that's holding us up. You're holding up progress. This is the things that Satan does. He creates things like that and then, you know, makes you out to be a bad person because you don't follow that, go that way. So the further we go down this pathway of humanity and all those things, the further we're getting away from the simplicity of the gospel, because the gospel and the promises of God are still simple.
Amen.
Very simple. Brother B.J. Ryan, do you remember Brother Ryan? He said it many times, standing right here in his pulpit. He'd say that guy was down at the altar praying, and he didn't know what was wrong. I've said this before. He said he didn't know what was wrong. He just prayed, you know, Lord, fix me.
Yeah.
Just fix me. I was telling this, witnessing this to somebody, I think it was yesterday. Just fix me, Lord. After he got done, he was praying, and he was all happy and rejoicing, and they said, well, what happened? He says, oh, I don't know. All I know is the Lord fixed me.
Yeah.
Simple. He just fixed me. You know, like the Brother Branham leaving the note on the tree, praying, you know, like the little boy down to the altar praying, or I think it's the little boy just praying his ABCs, and preacher comes along and says, what was you doing there? He said, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. So I figured if I just prayed up ABCs, God has enough knowledge. He knows how to put it together. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's something real about that.
Right.
The simplicity of getting a hold of God. It's not, Satan wants it to be complicated.
That's right.
Satan wants you to think you have to go through all this religious stuff and all this theology stuff and all these confusions and all that, and makes it complicated. You see what I'm saying? There's a simplicity in the gospel, and God wants you to enjoy that simplicity. He didn't make it hard. That's Satan's work to make it hard. You just remember that. If you want God, it's simple. But it's got to be genuine.
Yeah.
It's got to be the real thing. There's something about someone that when you shake your hands and you talk to them, you're shaking hands and you're hearing the real man that you're talking to. You're not seeing a politician. It's something good about knowing someone that you walk with them day after day, week after week, year after year, and you know what you got. If you got somebody in your life that you're constantly trying to figure out where they're coming from and what they're doing, there's something wrong. You see what I'm saying? If you constantly have to be on guard because you don't know what they're going to do next, and yet they're supposed to be your friend, That don't work.
Right.
See, there's something genuine, and when you get to the genuine thing, we're talking about something that's real simple. Just right down to earth. No politics, no showmanship. That's why I like Brother Daniel. That's why I like Brother Miller. Just what you see is what you get. See what I'm saying? And there's something genuine about that. And so, the further you go away from the things of God, the further away you get from that. You get to politics and all this stuff. See, it's a totally different, it's like a teeter-totter, you know? One or the other. If you want to have simplicity of the gospel, you can't have a bunch of politics, a bunch of showmanship, a bunch of this, a bunch of that. You know, but if you don't have that, you're going to have all the nonsense if you don't have the simplicity of the gospel. And so we don't want to be far away from God. We want to be close to Him. And so we're not going to seek after all these things of the world that just takes us that much further from God. Let's get back to the simple things, to believe His word for what it said. Because the world's going to teach you that, well, that part of the Bible is not inspired.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? There's something simple about that. To have the truth. Simple. So in our scriptures, when we read here, Paul is saying that if we receive another Jesus, if we receive, because you realize in his hour, he's preaching the gospel, and all these other guys were coming around, and they were preaching contrary to him. And some of them was preaching to his hurt, and some of them was, you know. And so they're coming along preaching and telling people things contrary to what Paul has taught. And so Paul is saying, look, if you receive another Jesus, or another spirit, or another gospel, he said, look, God had given Paul the responsibility to go and visit the Gentiles and take out a people for the bride. Take out a bride and preserve and reserve that bride to be the bride of Christ. And of course, she'd have to be a chaste virgin. So Paul says, listen, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I'm not jealous because I want to marry you. I'm jealous over you for God because I'm here in God's stead. I'm here in Christ's stead. And I'm jealous over you because I see that somebody else has come along and started to preach thing contrary. And if you're going to receive another Jesus, if you're going to receive another doctrine, another gospel, another spirit, right? If that's the case, then I'm not going to present you as a chaste virgin because you're devout.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying there. So he says if we receive something else, then we'll be, we're beguiled, just like the serpent beguiled Eve. We're beguiled. There's a corruption that takes place in our mind. The womb of our mind or our heart is corrupted. And he's basically saying when this happens, you're being taken away from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah.
It's in the gospel.
Right.
That's what he was saying there. And he said, I fear. Because if this is what's happening, I fear that you're going to be beguiled and you're going to be tricked and you're going to be pulled away from the simplicity that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I fear it. Let me just read it. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Paul's telling us that when you start receiving false teachings, false doctrine, false movements, things contrary to the Word of God, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You're being moved away from simplicity. Think about it. If you're constantly having fussing and fighting and strife in your life, that's not God doing that.
That's right.
That's the work of the enemy. And you know what? I don't like it. You know, we all have where Satan tries to use our flesh. I don't like it. I don't like it when he gets the upper hand of me and I do something I shouldn't do, you know, and I have to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I do not like it when I know that Satan has used me to say or do something I hope it don't happen too much, but you know what I'm saying. I don't like that. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit using my faculty for his program 24/7 than for Satan to. And so, you know, when you move away from the gospel and you're moving away from the truth, you're moving into complications. If you've got turmoil in your life, you don't have simplicity. You don't have simplicity of the gospel working in your family, in your home, or in your life, or on your job, or whatever, you know, however you want to paint the picture. If you've got the simplicity, there's peace about that. There's something that moves there because you're not tied to all these things. But if you get away from it, then you have turmoil, and the further away you get, the more turmoil you get. This is one of the most, this generation's families are so dysfunctional. When I say dysfunctional, families can't even operate like families.
Right.
Mom is mom, dad is dad, children's children. They can't even get along and operate like the family unit should be anymore.
Yeah.
Why is that way? It's that way because we're living at the end where Satan has got his Eden.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be peace and harmony in the homes. And I don't like it. Like I said a while ago, I don't like it when Satan gets the upper hand of me. And what bothers me is that people live every day in situations where Satan's getting the upper hand and they don't seem to be remorseful about it. It doesn't seem to bother them that Satan uses them to say and do stuff 24/7 that's contrary to the Word of God. It doesn't seem to bother them that they're not functional with everyone else in around them at the workplace or in their home or their marriage or something. It doesn't seem to bother one bit. They just go right along. And so much drama.
Yeah.
You get that from Hollywood.
Right.
You get that from Hollywood because Hollywood has showed all these shows about, well, look how big I am and let me show you how I handle it. And so everybody, when somebody has a disagreement, they just can't say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, let me tell you. You know, they bring so much drama in their arguments and everything. It's because of what this world has dished out to them, because that's how far down the road we've gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel.
Yeah.
This is a product of what's happened. And so, if we have all that kind of thing going on, well, it's just simply because the gospel is not reigning in our homes, in our lives. Because I can guarantee you, if he's ruling and reigning, you have peace.
Yeah.
A peace of God that passes all understanding. No questions about it. There is a peace that can come over you, and someone can spit in your face, and you'll love them. They can slap you, and you'll feel sorry for them. I've stood in the pulpit and had people who wanted to hear what I was saying, and had people that were sitting there making fun and mocking and doing stuff, and all I felt was love and sorrow for them.
Yes.
And you look through the eyes of God, you see things different. That's what Brother Brennan said. When a man's done you wrong, you know he's done you wrong. No question about it. You know he's done you wrong. He said, you go to God and you start praying. You get in the presence of God and then start talking to God, and God will start talking to you. When you want to go into the presence of God and accuse somebody, look what he's done to me. He said, God will start talking to you, and you'll start seeing what that man's gone through.
Yeah.
And you'll come back to him, be able to put your arm around him.
That's right.
Why? What happened there? Because you quit looking through your own eyes, and you started looking through the eyes of God. Now, this is the problem. People, they don't want the gospel. They don't want to see it through the eyes of God. So they go off after every other way, and there's a million ways to go the other way, some other way besides God, and there's no peace in any of it.
Right.
Just turmoil, just different levels of turmoil, this and that. But God's way, there's peace in it. You understand? There's a peace of God that passes all this. I'm not saying you won't be going through trials. I'm not saying that. But you know, God is supreme. And he'll just bathe your heart with peace and joy and love. And so, we don't want to fall into the category that Paul was talking about. Just to receive something contrary to the gospel. Receive a different doctrine. Receive a different Jesus. Different spirit. Different whatever. And be moved away from the simplicity. Now, when he says simplicity that's in the gospel, do you realize what he's saying there? God provided the gospel. God wants to provide salvation, and he made it simple. But all these other false teachers, all these other systems want to come along and pull away from that divine sent messenger of God in his day, and from what he was teaching, they come along and want to pull away from that, and by doing that, they're pulled away from the simplicity. How simple it is to come to God and be saved and walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what he's talking about. We get pulled away from that by all this other stuff. And so, if you're using your phone right, it's not going to hurt your walk with God.
Right.
If you're using your computer right, it's not going to hurt your walk with God. If you use your iPads right, it's not going to hurt your walk with God. You understand?
Right.
If you interact with your mom and dad or your children right, it's not going to hinder your walk with God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He should be first. It's like I said, and maybe we illustrated before, but no matter where the Spirit of the Lord goes, that's where we want to go. So if all you have to do is just stay in close proximity to him, and if he says don't go in there, you can't go in there, don't go in there. You see, if he says don't listen to that, don't listen to it. Don't ever go somewhere where he don't want to go. And you'll know when you try to go somewhere he don't want to know, because you'll be convicted. See? That's the thing we got to get back to, is quit silencing. Quit silencing the conviction.
Amen.
Get back to that. When the Spirit of God says, don't say that, don't say it.
Right.
Don't do that, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. If he says, go apologize, then go apologize.
Amen.
And let me tell you something else. If he tells you to do it, don't just go up there and do it the least that you can. Go well beyond what that least is.
Yeah.
In other words, if he says go apologize, don't just say, I'm sorry. Go in there and take the person by hand and look him in the eye. Say, I'm sorry. Tell him the truth. The Holy Spirit convicted me. I shouldn't have said that. Be genuine with it. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't just halfway do it. Sit down and talk to one another like they're human beings and love one another. It's simple to do that. It's just when we let all this other stuff get in the way, it makes it complicated.
Yeah.
It's those things that makes it hard to apologize. But when you're in the simplicity of the gospel, it's easy to say, I'm sorry. It's easy to look at someone and apologize. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a simplicity that we need to stay in there. Simplicity is cheaper and it's simpler. I made something one time. I used to work with a guy. He was some leader over the Royal Rangers. You know what the Royal Rangers is? Christian Boy Scout type thing. Mm-hmm. Well, he was the leader. Richard knows who I'm talking about because he worked over there too. But they did every year. They'd have this big camp out, and they had a theme every year. One year it was planes and trains. One year it was like the Lion and the Tribe of Judah. And he'd come to me and he'd want me to help him make stuff. Like the year that they had trained, they had to set up their camp, and they made a little mock railroad tracks and a little train engine or whatever. It had a light and a horn on it. And now what they wanted me to do was set up some electronics to make a circuit that would shoot an electronic eye across there so that when someone walked up or to step across the railroad tracks, the light would come on the train sitting there and the horn would stop blowing. And it would cycle through that, and they'd do stuff like that. But they also did some stuff with fireworks. So he came to me one time and said, I want you to build me a box where we can set off the buttons, you know, push buttons and set off these fireworks. And it had to sense things and know whether the circuits were hooked up and all that. And so I made this for him, and he paid me for my time and for the parts that I spent in it, and he used it for a while. So a couple of years went by, and he burned the thing up. He blew it up. I don't know what happened to it, but he toasted it. And so he brought it back to him and asked me if I'd fix it. So I did. And but in the process of time in those 2 years, I had learned a few more things. And so when I fixed it, I replaced the circuitry inside with a ridiculous amount fewer parts than I originally had done, and a fraction of the cost of what I originally had done. And it was a whole lot more robust to the kind of thing that blew it up in the first place. He probably was wondering, well, how come you didn't do that the first time cheaper? And well, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
But my point is it was simpler, stronger, cheaper, easier.
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Right.
Right? The more you add to it, the more complicated it gets.
Yeah.
You have just you, well, you and your house, no big deal. Everybody's nobody else to blame but you. You get two people in the house, it gets a little more complicated.
Yeah.
Three people in the house, kids start coming on, it gets more complicated. Four kids, more complicated. Five kids, it's over the top. Right? Or five people, it's over. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
The more you get, the more complicated it gets. See, because it's there's just more to it.
Yeah.
See? Well, it's Satan's job to make there be more to it. Theology. Oh, you know, all the different things about what the theological schools want to teach and you know, stand up there with intellect. But there's something about the original gospel that's simple. And you don't have to have a PhD, an LLD, or be a doctor of divinity. You don't have to do none of that. You can tap into the things of God and have the blessings of God and the confirmations of God on a daily basis. And you don't have to go to school to get that. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to satisfy the mayor. Right? You don't have to satisfy your government. Because it's you walking with God. And you won't. The mayor won't be happy. The president sure won't be happy. Right? But we just keep walking with God. And so we got to seek for that old path. That old past. Right? And walk in it. Right?
Yeah.
I don't remember how the scripture is exactly quoted. But if you read your Bible, you probably know that I'm referring what I'm referring to.
Right?
And so, simplicity is cheaper and easier. The whole entire Christian experience is built upon what? Rest. It's based on rest.
Yeah.
Based on rest. But you know what? When it's complicated, you can't rest.
That's right.
When it's turmoil, you can't rest. When there's peace in it, you can kick back and enjoy one another.
Yeah.
If you hold stuff against each other, it's complicated. If you forgive, it's simple.
That's right.
Rest. See what I'm saying? You could hold a grudge all your life and get rid of it in 2 minutes. Right? I think Brother Kenneth, that come from him. But you see what I'm saying? We got to get to the place back to where it's simple.
Amen.
simple to serve God and love God and love and serve one another.
Yes.
And to let all this other stuff go. Because you know what? Your brothers and sisters might aggravate you, but I guarantee you they didn't mean to.
That's right.
And if they did mean to, that just means they're going through something and because that's just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're all guilty of making mistakes. Right? We are. But the blood of Jesus Christ, if we walk in the light, right? If we walk in that light, then we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He cleanses us from all sin. So we want to walk in rest and not in a bunch of complicated things. So by faith, we walk in the promises of God. By faith, we walk in His promises, in the simplicity of His promises, and just simply rest in His promises. I don't know how He's going to change my body. I can't figure it out. And I could spend the rest of my life trying to scientifically study it, read books and all that, and still not know. Or I can rest, not struggle with it, just believe God and know He's going to do it and say, I don't know, but He'll just do it. And just rest in that. And it's the same way with your sin, the same way with the problem, same way with healing. By faith, we just rest in the promises of God and leave it at that. But you can't rest if you're working. If you're trying to make it happen and make the promises of God come to pass, you're not resting. And,
right.
You know, and so if you're out just trying and struggling and fussing and fighting and arguing and all this stuff going on that's not from the simplicity side, then you're not resting. You are wore plumb out constantly, spiritually speaking, if you're not resting. Right?
Yeah.
So we want to read just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4. We're just almost done. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Paul is talking about this. He's talking about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, how they failed. And he said, let us therefore fear lest the promise be left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached does not profit them. He's talking about the Old Testament saints, the ones that fell in the wilderness. The word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't have faith in the very, you know, they had a supernatural pillar of fire with them.
Yeah.
And yet they had no faith.
Right.
It's just, I have a hard time comprehending that. But that's what the scriptures is telling us. For we which have believed, think about this, we which have believed what? Believe what? The promises. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So He's telling you, God's speaking of a rest to come, and they didn't get it because they were full of unbelief.
Yeah.
But to have faith, you do enter into it, is what He's trying to tell us. Again, He limited in a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, if they will hear His voice and harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, think about this. Now He's talking about Old Testament. And that they heard it preached. They heard the gospel, but they didn't enter in. If Jesus, when did Jesus come along? Just in the New Testament, or was He back there in the Old Testament in another form?
Right.
For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterwards have spoken of another day? He, in David, speaking of a rest to come. See, Jesus in David, Jesus in the prophets,
right,
speaking these things of something to come. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from His own what? His own works, as God did from His. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Mm-hmm. So you can't rest when you're full of unbelief. It's only by faith in the promises of God that you can truly have peace and rest for your souls. And when that happens, you're living in the simplicity of the gospel. It's real simple. You know, Brother Bam gave the example. He said, the baby. So now listen, Junior. When you get hungry, I want you to ring this little bell right here. How many remember hearing him say that? Mm-hmm. Talking about a little baby. Little baby in a baby bed. Can't talk or nothing. Now listen, when you get hungry, you just ring this little bell right here.
Yeah.
Brother Graham said it won't work.
That's right.
Because God has given him a provided way.
Amen.
And that provided way is to scream out and cry out for what he wants. When that baby screams and cries out, that's his provided way at that point in his life. Bells won't work. PhDs won't work. LLDs won't work. There's a provided way. And you know what? If you could try to get that baby to do it, he would struggle. It would be turmoil to try and get him to reach that thing and be able to make it. It's a whole lot easier for him just to go God's provided way and just scream out. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you could take that through every walk of life. It's just so simple. If we just get back to living for God the way he said do it. And so, you know, by not having faith, we just submit ourselves to the complications of this world and the things that Satan wants to come on and give us. And he wants us to live on those things because, believe it or not, he gets gratification when there's turmoil and there's sickness and there's hurt and there's pain and there's sorrow. Satan gets his gratification from that. But faith will rejoice in the simplicity of the gospel. Amen. I believe that.
Yes.
I've seen it work. I've experienced it. Do I experience it 24/7? No. I fight battles too. This is what it's all about. The battles that Satan comes along and throws at you. But there's promises laying there that gives us victory every time. Every time. Amen. I love the Lord. How about you?
Amen.
So, ask my pen before we come up. Put out our hearts in prayer, and then we'll sing a dismissal song here in just a moment. Lord, we just come to you now at the end of this service. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this time to look into your word and just to teach, Lord, of the principles that are so abundant within your scriptures, of principles that brings peace and life to your people. We know that Satan makes it complicated, Lord, but we can see in your scriptures that this gospel is a gospel of simplicity. How I thank you, Lord, because of it, that even someone that doesn't know right hand from left, can't read, don't know how to numbers or anything else, Lord, this gospel speaks to their heart and their sins are removed and taken away. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you would allow us just to live in the simplicity of the gospel, that the genuine thing, Lord, that lays there in scriptures would beat in the heart of your people and would flesh out in their daily actions one to another and the workplaces and everywhere they go. Lord, we don't want to be fakes. We don't want to be failures, certainly, but we certainly don't want to be fake. We want to be genuine and that genuine expression to be the gospel on display. I pray, God, that if there's anything in the way hindering any one of us, Lord, that you could remove those things, that you could come and rise up within us, Lord, each day and live as you would have it to be. We love you, Lord. Ask for your blessings upon your people as they travel home tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord has made a
Shantaram.